Yes, and it would be Thursday night at 10 o'clock. And this is your host, Screamer Chaotix, and welcome to HackerMind. Yes, it is HackerMind, and before we go any further, let's just get Dash on the line. Yes, that's the beauty of radio, folks. You can do a lot of things behind the scenes, you know, but there are some things that just don't work out the way you plan them. Take Live 365, for example. Yes, they seem to be in the mood to screw us over, but we'll get into that in just a minute. Hey, there you are.
Hey.
I was just telling people about Live 365. Now, we've been talking about this for a few weeks now.
Wait a minute, the phone didn't even ring, and you were right there.
Well, it rang on my end.
Oh, it didn't ring on my end.
Well, that's because that's the fake ring.
It just appeared out of nowhere. But anyway, go ahead.
I was just telling people about Live 365. Now, this is something that we've been talking about for a while now. You know, we've been mentioning how the IP is different every week, and yeah, sure enough, the Live 365 stream is completely different this week.
Really? What is it this week?
This week, it would be... One moment, please. Let me get into my broadcast info. It is 66.28.48.86 port 8034.
I see. Did you email them?
No, I didn't get a chance to do that. Did you?
No, I didn't. You need to email, or one of us needs to email.
Well,
ask them what's up. You know, this isn't going to stand. We're not
going to... Well, I have a feeling this is going to stand, and this is how it's going to be for quite some time, because...
You can't admit defeat, man. You gotta, you know, stand up.
Yeah, no, I don't admit defeat, but it's not looking good, Dash. They're giving us the runaround here. And I really don't want this to turn into a running joke. You know, what's the Live 365 stream this week? Because it's not even a funny one. Because when you connect to that stream, there's nothing there.
I haven't connected to it. It doesn't give you anything?
Oh, I'm sure it gives you the same old, your stream is not available crap.
Yeah.
What is this?
What is it?
Do you want to stop this current archive? No, and I didn't tell you to do that.
Well, there you go.
Computer's being stupid. Let me make sure the microphone's turned up all the way.
Yeah, that might be good.
Well, I got a lot going on before the show, Dash. I don't have
time
to
take everything. I understand. Me too.
Let's see here.
Also, I think I have kind of like a cold going on, so I sound different. You know.
Sound fine, actually.
Do I really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's just me.
Well, don't worry. Chicks dig the deep voice.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah.
All right, Dash, let it go. All right, let's see here. Entertainment. See,
what are you doing?
Putting up the volume.
Okay.
On the microphone.
Still doing that?
Yeah. Well, WinXP just takes a while to get over to different menus. Don't ask me why.
Why?
Here we go. I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, so what the heck are we doing tonight? Well, tonight we're going to make a phone ring, hopefully.
Well, that's always a good thing. That's always a good thing.
Now, have you ever been sitting somewhere, Dash, and someone next to you is just gabbing on their cell phone? They're just going on and on. I mean, pretty soon you know their entire life story because they're pretty much revealing it to you right there. I mean, they're just sitting there talking out loud, and usually they don't even realize how loud they're being. I've done it myself, you know, especially.
Also, I've noticed that, like, 4 out of 5 people have a cell phone nowadays. I mean, they're everywhere.
Yeah, that they are. They are, well, I don't want to say the new thing. They've been around for a while, but they're definitely the in thing. And first it was beepers, now it's cell phones.
There's a million of them out there. I mean, everybody has a cell phone.
Well, if you have their number and they have email service, you can wreak havoc with their phone.
Can you? How?
Well, we'll get into that a little bit later.
Oh, man, I want to know now.
Well, you can't know now, Dash. You can't know now. And plus, we're going to have a little bit of an experiment. Always love to do those, even though they rarely work.
Yeah, I love our experiments.
Yeah. We're going to try that later and see if we can't make my phone ring, or at least beep, a couple hundred times.
Yeah, a couple hundred times.
Oh, boy. Oh, that's going to be fun. Oh, deleting all those messages.
It's going to be funny.
Yeah.
Anyways.
For you and a lot of other people,
yeah,
it's going to be funny. But
funny for us, but...
Yeah. But for me...
Yeah, but...
Not so funny.
That just makes it funnier for us that you don't find it funny.
Dash, do you have those Emmanuel Goldstein pics on our site?
No, I don't.
They belong there.
I will put them up.
These are quality photographs.
I know. I saw them.
Let's see here. You know, you got to be an idiot to break out pictures on a radio show.
Yeah, that doesn't work too good.
Sure it does. This one's of Emmanuel.
Can you describe it for us?
He's standing there staring at me,
make
smiling.
Sure I have the same picture, so I don't need you to describe it for me. I'll just look at it.
Yes, he's standing there holding Free Kevin stickers and Stop the MPAA stickers, and he's wearing a Stop the MPAA button, and he's smiling. It's really funny, too. And then there's another one here of Emmanuel standing outside. You can see the New York Film and Video Festival sign above him.
Yep, I got, yep. And the guy standing next to him wearing a 2600 shirt.
Yep, the original 2600 shirt, actually. And this is all outside the showing of Freedom Downtime. Now, he had said at the showing that the movie would be available last month. Now he's saying within this week, but I haven't heard anything else.
They didn't mention it on this week's Off the Hook?
Nope.
I didn't listen this week.
You never listen.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I'm working, man.
Well, but you can download it, though. There's no excuse to.
Yeah, I could.
All right, well, get those up on the site. Those are
pretty
cool.
They didn't mention anything?
No.
Oh, man.
So that's not a good sign.
No, it's not.
But it'll be out eventually. It'll be out. Don't worry, Dash.
And I'm going to buy it.
Oh, me too. Me too. It's a good movie. All right. Now, you know what's pissing me off?
Oh, what is it this week?
Well, have I been pissed off recently about anything?
I don't know.
I think I've been doing pretty good. I don't think I've gotten that mad.
I'd like to mess with you.
Yeah. But what's pissing me off this week is Visage. And no, not the guy who was on the Han.
Oh, good, because I don't know. We don't have any problems with our listeners.
No. No.
But Visage?
Well, Visage with two eyes.
Oh.
Visage with two eyes, yes. I'm going to call it Visage, because I just like that word.
Visage.
Yeah, Visage awarded $7.5 million contract by State of Connecticut, my hometown. Hey, great. My home state, anyway. New driver license and identification cards have advanced security features. Well, that just does not sound good. And ironically, this comes from Littleton, Massachusetts. Apparently, they like to write about us. Yeah, Visage Technology, it's probably Visage, but I don't care. Visage Technology Incorporated, the world leader in face recognition technology and identification systems and solutions, announced today that it has been selected to design, develop, and implement a new digital driver's license system for the Connecticut Department of Motor Vehicles, DMV, for all you idiots out there.
Yeah.
It's not me, they're writing it. The initial term of the project is valued at $7.5 million. dollars, of course.
Of change.
Yeah. Design and development of the system will begin immediately and will be deployed in 38 issuing offices throughout the state of Connecticut, and you know one of them will be mine.
Yep.
The new system will enable the DMV to acquire digital images, signatures, and demographic data and store them in a relational database. The driver's licenses and ID cards will have a, quote, new high-tech look, unquote, with a multicolor format. Ooh, they're making them pretty. Mm. The cards will contain some of the industry's most advanced security features. Industry security, that's funny. Including a PDF 417 two-dimensional barcode. Oh,
two-dimensional.
Doubling the work. Commenting on the award and the new system, Gary DeFilippo, Connecticut DMV commissioner, said, "We are undertaking a major initiative to update Connecticut's driver's licenses."
Well, Connecticut is the richest state.
Well, yes, it is. "We're taking a major initiative to update Connecticut's driver's license system to improve customer service levels." Yeah. "Enhance the quality and look of licenses." Yeah. "And improve card security."
I see. So next time you go in to get your driver's license renewed, are they going to scan your face or something?
Yeah, most likely. That's why they brought in Visage.
Probably give you a full body scan.
Oh, well, that's just nice. The state also it's always good when people write really crappy sentences, and I got to read them. The state also has also exercised... Also has also?
Yeah, I don't know.
Exercised the option to utilize biometric features with the new digitized driver license system. That would be the DDL.
Mm.
I don't know why they do that. Given the need for greater security since September 11th, oh yes, God knows that driver's licenses will prevent terrorism.
Oh yeah, they will. I mean, I've had personal experience in it.
It has become evident that the driver's license is now a critical identification document. As such, it behooves the state of Connecticut to ensure that our licenses are as secure and tamper-resistant as the latest state-of-the-art technology allows. Mr. D... Now they're calling him D. Pilipipo, went on to say. Up top, it was D. Filippo. The guy, man. The guy.
Gary, right?
Something. I don't know. Well...
No, I feel sorry for you, because that just doesn't sound right.
Yeah, now, here's the thing.
Here's another thing, but you go ahead with your thing.
Yeah, let me just have my thing, because I'm really feeling this. Nobody asked me about this, you know? Now, they say that they have the option to use biometric identification. First of all, they don't even say what biometric identification is. I mean, yes, they bring in Visage, the whole face recognition people, but they're saying on top of that they're going to have biometric identification. I mean, am I going to have to be fingerprinted, and are they going to have to take DNA, or are they going to scan my retina? You know, what are they going to do?
Wait a minute. Is it mandatory, or is it like an option?
Well, this is an option for the state. The state is going to decide what happens to me.
I see.
Now, you see, let me just say, first of all, that I'm about to go into a rant against the way that things work in the United States. Now, I want to stress that I do not have a better system to propose. I think that right now this is the best system that we could have. It's one of the best systems in the world. But this is a problem, and here's what it is. We elect representatives to, ironically, represent us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
These people are supposed to be there and telling everyone, you know, in power what we want. You know, that's why your representative is probably from your hometown, because you want a person that knows the conditions in which you live.
Right.
Well, what do you do when you want something? People tell you, write to your representative, and I encourage people to do that. However, is your one letter going to do anything? No. Are 1,000 letters going to do anything? Maybe it'll get some recognition. But how do you get so many people to write into their representative and tell them that this should not be allowed, that we do not want biometric identification? Because nobody asked me. There was a vote, most likely, but my representative answered for me and said, yes, we want this.
Yeah.
I didn't get asked. how can I change that? You know, how can I let my opinion be known? How can I let other people know what's going on?
Well, apparently you're in the minority.
So you think that the majority of people in the state feel that way, that they want it?
I think, well, apparently they do.
When were they asked, though? I would. That's all I'm asking for. If the majority of people want it, well, then, hey, that's democracy for you.
Yes.
Then they get it. But nobody asked us. At least I wasn't invited to the meeting where they had this vote.
There wasn't, like, a vote or anything on it?
What vote? I don't remember flipping the switch. This is just something that they're saying is going to be implemented because, hey, we need security, so we're going to give it to you.
I guess it's not something you can vote on then.
Yeah, and I mean, what's the deal with that? They're going to be taking my not my identification. I don't want to say it sound like.
Hey, that's why I'm thinking it might be just an option when you go in there, and they might ask you if you want these extra security features or not.
Oh, I seriously doubt it because what they really want is to make sure that everybody has legitimate ID. That's why they want the security features. It's not for us; it's for them. So you can't make a bogus ID.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. When is it supposed to be implemented?
Oh, I have no idea. It's probably in the article somewhere, but I don't want to go hunting for it.
Well, as soon as it does, you need to go down there and see what's up.
Yeah, well, but what choice do I have, though? You know, I'm going to have to renew my license, and I'm going to have to submit to this. Nobody asked me if I wanted to, but I'm going to have to.
Well, I still hold out that I think it's going to be optional, but I don't know. You're going to have to find out.
Well, you know, they want to make IDs that are tamper resistant, that can prove you're you, and that, to me, you know, doesn't sound like, ooh, I'm going to have the option as to whether or not I want people to identify me wherever I go, you know?
It's kind of like my ATM card.
Mm-hmm.
They asked me if I wanted to have my picture on it, so people would know that that's my card, and I said, yeah, okay. And, you know, I had the option of getting that or not.
Well, I suppose, you know, we'll have to see what's going on, but, I don't know.
We'll see.
But, you know, if I did want to tell people around my state about this, and that, you know, this isn't right, if this is what they're doing, if they are forcing us to do this, you know, how do I tell people? Do I go on public access? No. That only reaches a couple towns. Believe me, those people are not going to tune into HackerMind. I mean, we're getting more listeners every week, but, you know, the odds of them being from my state, no.
Yeah.
I'm not broadcasting to my state. I, you know, theoretically I am, but nobody's listening. So, how do I do it? Can I go onto television and let people know? Uh-uh.
Well, I don't know.
I can't go on the radio. What radio station is going to let me go on and speak out about anything?
I don't know. This one?
Yeah, but this doesn't count, though. This is, you know, people have to come to us. With a regular radio station, you turn on the radio, you flip around.
Commercials,
people,
that's what
people
you hear.
What's that?
You hear commercials, that's what you hear.
Oh, yeah, you hear a lot of those, too. But, anyway.
Yeah.
That's my rant. Now, you said that you had had something. You had a point. You had a thing.
Man, now I forgot my thing.
Well, maybe you'll remember your thing, but...
too long with your thing. No, I can't remember my thing.
You do have a new computer, though, right?
I have a new CPU, a new motherboard, and a new case.
So where'd you get that from?
I'm building my computer. I got it online, actually.
What site?
I bought it off of a couple sites on PriceWatch.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So, this
I got a 1.2 gigahertz Turon processor, which I read today AMD is going to stop producing. And, yeah, hopefully, I was installing the CPU earlier. That was the easy part. I was putting on the heat sink, and I hope I didn't mess it up. Yeah. Took a lot of pressure to put that heat sink on there. And I don't know, man.
All right, well, I just can't wait until you can play all these new games that they got out.
Oh, man, that's the main reason I got it.
That's going to be cool.
Games.
Yes. Yes, that's all computers are good for, games.
Not all.
No, that's it, Dash. There's nothing else you can do with a computer except message people, email them, or play games.
Oh, is that it? Really?
Well, aside from porn.
What are we doing then?
Well, this doesn't count, Dash. You know, You don't have to get crafty with me. This is radio, Dash.
I have to get crafty.
This is online radio. We're not actually using the computer. It's all an illusion.
Oh, no.
Well, you're not here. You don't know what I'm broadcasting on. I could be broadcasting on shortwave for crying out loud.
No, you're not.
Well, rant radio could be just,
Oh, no, you're using a microphone connected to your computer.
Ah, Dash, you're not here. You don't know.
I know.
No, you don't. But you know who doesn't know?
You?
No, I know all. I just can't wait to make my voicemail, or my cell phone's mail fill up with...
Well, that's later in the show.
Jillion messages. Yeah.
Who doesn't know?
Well, apparently people in my computer class don't know.
Really? Yeah. How's that even going? You're in the new school and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going good. I'm having a great time in there. You know, I'm pretty much. I like to consider myself the best one in there, and that's not bragging, because if people saw what I was up against, you know.
Well, yeah. I'm not sure.
You would understand. The guy next to me, yeah, like I said, he knows how to turn them on.
Yeah, I know how to turn them on, so, that's it.
So, I'm sitting next to him, and we're taking what's known as
any more questions he's been asking you, maybe, entertain questions, perhaps, for us to hear?
If they did have any entertaining value whatsoever, it was lost on me, because after a while, you just get to the point where you're like... Would you read the fucking manual?
Yeah.
There's a book, you know. We have a book on it. We have notes. Now,
start screaming RTFM at it.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to be patient with the guy, you know. Anyway, we had this practical exam, right? And what you do in a practical is you have to F-disk the computer. You have to format it. You have to install Windows 98. You have to put in the drivers. You have to hook up to the server. You have to get everything up and running. You have to download the Novell NetWare client from the server, install it, and then connect to the Novell network and show the teacher that everything's done the right way and that you're logged in.
Right.
I was the second one done.
Oh, second one.
Beaten only by a network administrator.
Second place is the first loser, man.
The only guy that beat me was a network administrator, though.
Yeah, but he was on top of it. He was like, what was he doing in there then if he's a network administrator?
Unreal was a network administrator.
Yeah, I know, but
he didn't have any schooling, so now in order for this guy to probably get a better job, he has to have that piece of paper.
Oh. Well, so he's taking a class here and he knows about... All right, sure.
Okay, well... Dash, when you know something and you want a better job, you're going to have to take that class too.
I know.
Alrighty. Yeah, so I had to take the practical. I was the second one done, and oh man, this poor guy next to me, man, he didn't know anything.
He still doesn't know anything?
No, he was struggling the whole night. I mean, and then, alright, you want to know something funny? There's a resource disk. The resource disk has the video drivers for the monitor and, for the video card, and it has the drivers for the NIC.
Right.
So, the network administrator guy, he's got the resource CD, and I hear the guy next to me saying, he leans over to the kid and goes, can I see that CD when you're done? And I'm looking at him like, what the hell do you need it for? You only need this thing once you've gotten Windows set up, and, you know, you're about to install drivers for stuff, and this guy hasn't even F-disked the partition yet. He has no idea what's going on. He does not even realize that he doesn't need this CD.
That's sad.
You know, so here I am, you know, okay, I got Windows set up, and then I see the network guy hand the disk to the guy next to me, and I'm waiting for the disk, and I see him about to put it in. I'm like, yeah. Can I see that? I'm all ready to go. He's like, okay, I'm going to need that, though. I'm like, yeah, okay.
He's going to need that.
Yeah, so I put it in, got all the drivers set up, and then, you know, finally I gave it back to him, but by then he was just lost. He didn't even know what to do.
Maybe he needs to take a basic computer skills class or something first.
You know, I feel sorry for him, but, you know,
I do, too. I mean, it doesn't seem like he's learning.
Yeah, I know. Well, you probably have to blame the teacher, though, because if anybody is thinking about taking a computer school, you better have some basic skills. In fact, you better be damn good.
Yeah.
All right? You better be damn good, because Because they don't teach. It's sit down and make it happen. You know, you just have to sit down and hack, basically. You know, yeah. Do it.
Could this guy type?
No, he's hunting and pecking.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you better have some skills, because we have the book, but it's Greek if you don't know it.
Man, I remember back in the day, I was hunting and pecking, too. Yeah. Then yeah. I took 2 years of keyboarding, and I was typing shit up, man. I was ripping it up. And the speed test, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Alrighty, let's get on to some fun stuff here. What do you say?
Oh, is it time for the fun stuff?
Yeah, why not? You know?
Right.
There's no need to wait anymore. Let me just scratch this out of the notebook. That's the notebook.
This is an experiment, right?
This is definitely an experiment. Okay, now let's explain what we are going to do. And we don't have any theme music because, well, this really... I don't know, this is
really
just...
isn't anything...
You see, I wouldn't want to start up any theme music for an experiment, because we already got Inspector Gadget, we already have Star Trek, and...
reserved for things.
Yeah, phone tracks are experiments, so we can't really have a separate thing called experiments.
Right.
I don't know. So, okay, here, Exhibit A, the VoiceStream cellular telephone, and make sure, yes, it's turned on. All right, I'm going to put this over here.
Yeah, you put that over there, and then Exhibit B.
Exhibit B is, well, Exhibit B is a shell account.
All right, then.
But let me first explain what's going on here. Now, wait. You have somebody sitting next to you. Okay, they're going on their cell phone, yapping away.
Yeah, I hate that.
I hate it, too, especially when I was at Southern. I'd be sitting next to somebody in class, you know, the whole class is silent, and this one person next to me is giving me her whole life story. She's
During class?
Well, this is actually before class.
Oh, okay.
They love to do this before class. Before the teacher comes in, they love to sit there and just gab away.
I see.
Yeah, but the thing is that no one really wants to hear what this girl and her boyfriend did the other night. No one wants to hear what's going on in this girl's family or that guy's family. Nobody cares.
Nobody wants to hear that, man.
You know? Nobody. So...
they got this annoying person.
Yeah, so let's say you had that annoying person, and...
I hate that annoying person.
What you'll have to do is get their phone number. Now, that's easier said than done.
The hard part.
Yeah, this is definitely the hard part. Some cell phones, when you turn them on, you see the number right there. So if you want to do that, well, hey, try to swipe it and see it that way. I don't recommend it, though.
Yeah, that's not too good.
Well, somebody leaves, you know, a lot of times I've seen them just lying out.
Well, what's a better way? You got a better way?
Well, a better way is to say, can I use your cell phone for a minute?
Yeah, there you go. Borrow the cell phone.
Yeah, that can do it. You can try calling some ANI numbers, because newer cell phones do get read back. That's an idea.
Yeah, but what if it doesn't read back the number?
Well, if it should read back the number. If it's an analog, then I would just say, well, I try to figure out how to ask the person for their number. I don't know.
Yeah.
Use your social engineering skills, okay? This is a hacker show.
Yeah,
figure it out. Anyway. Once you have the number, all you need is the provider. So what you can do is you can call a number like 111-111-1111. And you should get an error message, and if there's no guarantees, but it might say what the provider is. You know, there are numbers, you know, try dialing 0, see what you get.
Yeah.
You can figure out who the provider is.
Well, so you need the number, you need the provider.
Or just ask them, you know, yeah, just say, hey, who do you use? I'm thinking about getting one.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so you got the number, you got the provider. Now you need to do a little information gathering. Now, if it's VoiceStream, the email address of that phone is going to be the phone number at voicestream.net.
Okay.
Now, if it's singular, it's going to be at mobile, that's M-O-B-I-L-E.
And the cell phone has to be able to receive email.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
You forgot to mention that.
Yeah, well, I thought that was kind of a given.
Yeah, well, no, it's not.
Well, if you're going to email it, it's... Oh. Anyway, at mobile.singular.net, and that would be singular. So what we're going to do is we're going to email it, but we're not just going to send one email. We're going to send multiple emails. Now, this is a really childish thing to do because it's very simplistic, but maybe that's why it's so scary. How simple it is. First of all, what I'm going to do, let's get the old keyboard out here.
Yeah.
It's so rare that we actually go online and actually do something. You know?
I'd like to do something. I'm just sitting here.
Okay, well, what do you want to do?
I don't know. Is there anything I can do?
No, but tell you what, find something cool to do for next week's show, and then you can do it.
Oh, I'll try to do that.
All right, so first, I'm going to go to trusty shell account. Let's hope it works.
Yeah.
All right, it's connected. Get the old password out here.
Connecting.
And logging in. And we're in.
We're in.
Okay, now.
What do we got?
Well, we have a lot of things. First, let me get into my directory here.
Go into the directory.
Okay, now. First, you're going to need to write a little simple shell script that will email someone over and over again. Now, I know it's a very simple thing to do, but for those of you that don't know how to do that, let me type. I'm going to make this nice and simple. I'm going to spell it out for you.
All right, sounds good.
Here is the very complex shell script. First, you type a pound sign. Then, you type an exclamation point. Then, the location of, well, you could use any shell, really, but let's just say bash. It's probably going to be found in bin bash, user bin bash, user local bin bash, whatever.
Bin bash.
Well, not in this case, but yeah.
Yeah.
So you enter that, okay? You got that?
Yeah, I got it.
I know you got it, but I want to make sure they got it.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully they got it. It goes pound, exclamation point, location of bash.
Okay. So then hit enter, and you type echo, then quotation marks, and whatever message you want to send.
Yeah.
Close those quotation marks. Then pipe that. Got it? You know what the pipe sign is, right? All right? The pipe is right above the enter key.
Yep, it's right there.
Okay. If you got the QWERTY keyboard. I'm not sure where it is on the other one. But, you know, nobody uses that except Steve Wozniak.
That's right.
Then you type mail. M-A-I-L. And then the address of the phone. That would be the phone number at whatever dot whatever. Then, now this is the tricky part.
Mm.
Okay? You gotta make the program run itself again, so you go down one line and you type dot forward slash and then the name of the program that you're currently writing.
There you go.
So you see what's going on here? This is some elite skills, huh? This is really, really...
Those are some mad hacker skills.
This is nothing. Just I'm ashamed of myself. But anyway. Alright, so we have the shell script written out.
That's the shell script. That's all of it. That's the shell script.
Yes, that's it. That's the scrippy.
That was pretty hard.
Now, make sure that you chmod it, U plus X, or you can use those digits if you're one of those cool people.
Right.
Type in the name of the program. It's always good when we teach people how to make cell phones ring. And then, if you don't have the name of your program in user bin or something like that, or whatever's in your path, just type dot or period or point, whatever, forward slash and the name of your program, and when I do this, if all goes well, it should email my phone.
And I hope this works.
Repeatedly. But, as you know, sometimes shell accounts can give you those damn fork things that tell you that the you no longer have any resources available because, hey, you're running a loop. You bastard.
Okay, hit enter. Do it.
I hit enter.
Okay.
Now, the program is running.
Okay, good.
If I was smart, I would have put it into the background, but...
Yeah, but you didn't.
Here comes one.
Oh, there it is.
Here comes two.
Where's two?
That's two.
There's two.
There comes... Yeah, that would be three. Yeah.
There's four.
Oh, yeah.
There's five.
Yes.
There's six.
Yeah.
Seven.
Wonderful.
Nine.
Yeah, eight. Yeah. Thank you.
11.
Yeah.
12.
I'm going to have fun deleting all these.
14. 15. 16.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically you can...
Let me just kill this thing, okay?
Yeah.
All right, just shut up.
Yeah.
Okay, shut up. It stopped running.
Yeah.
All right, you know what? You know what? This thing probably ran the program like 5,000 times.
Yeah, they keep coming in.
And every single one of these emails is going to keep coming through to me.
Oh, that's funny.
But, you know, that's the sacrifice you make when you're a hacker. You have to try things.
Nope.
You have... Shut up!
I'm going to be doing this for the rest of the show.
You have to screw yourself over sometimes, you know, to prove... Shut up! To prove that... I'm getting 5,000 emails. VoiceStream's going to be pissed. And you don't want to piss off VoiceStream, man.
No, you don't. They'll come. They'll mess you up.
Yeah, so... Dash, what have you been up to?
I can't think of that incessant noise.
Well...
Oh, make it stop.
I stopped the program, Dash.
Oh, make it stop.
Ah. It stopped. Let me see how many new...
There goes.
What? There goes what?
I heard a beep.
No, you didn't. No, we would have heard it by now. I hope that's not your phone dying.
Did it stop? It stopped.
Yeah, it stopped. Let me see how many new messages I got. Oh, this is going to be funny.
How many you got? I stopped counting.
29.
29?
29 messages.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and I'm going through all of them.
What message did you send yourself?
I said a short version of what's up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the first one says, sup. Second one says... Well, amazingly, sup. And I think we know what everyone else is going to say. So, yeah, I'm just gonna turn off that phone right now.
Yeah, you should probably do that.
Okay, everything is calm. Let me log out.
Well, that was a good experiment.
Yeah, it was. That was a good experiment. I'm gonna have to delete 29 emails now.
It's not as bad as 50 or 100.
That's true. But imagine, though. Imagine if you had someone's phone number.
You could just let it keep going.
Absolutely. There is nothing they can do to stop it. Unless they got to that program that you wrote. And even better, not that I condone this, but if you had someone else's shell account, you know, it's pretty easy to find someone's shell account. You get a large university, scan it for finger, and you could probably get some usernames, and somebody probably has their last name as a password, and you can get a shell account, which is illegal, folks.
Yeah.
We're not saying you should do it. But if somebody did, they can get into that account, write this easy shell script, and just email someone to hell and back. And this works for regular email, too. So no one is immune.
No one
is immune. But fortunately, with regular email, you can usually block senders. Now, I'm sure there's got to be a way.
Yeah.
Got to be a way on the cell phone to block a sender. I haven't played around with it yet. But you know, the average layman, you know, I mean, if someone emailed me to death, I would be able to stop it by just blocking them and then deleting it. But imagine the average person talking on their cell phone next to you. Here's the great thing. If you remember back in the day, I think either LOD or MOD used to do this. They would actually make their computers call someone's phone repeatedly using the no hup command, you know, except no hangups.
Yeah.
So even if you hung up the phone, it would just ring again, and you would actually have to either get a new phone line or live without a phone. But that, of course, would block people from using 911. This doesn't do that. Now, again, we want to stress that you could get in trouble for doing anything like this. We did this, you know, legally. But if someone did this, you know, people could still make a call. It's just annoying.
Yeah, it's really annoying.
It's just annoying.
It'll be annoying to all the people around you.
It's just a nice, cool, antisocial thing to do. So, but, you know, hey, person next to you.
Yeah.
Bugging the hell out of you in the class, you gotta shut them up. You know, you gotta, you know, you.
Yeah, you could do this just if you like brought your laptop to class or something.
Yeah, you could, but you know what I was thinking? I was trying to figure out, it shouldn't be too difficult, a way to write a program that checks for new mail, like in the background. Like if you can connect to the shell and keep this program running, and if the shell you have doesn't have a timeout. It's even better if it's your own laptop.
Yes.
You can keep a program running in the background that will constantly check for mail, and if new mail arrives, it will run your mailer. I call my program the mailer. It will run the mailer program that will bombard someone's email. So, get this. You can have your cell phone with you.
Yeah.
Be sitting next to someone in class. You can have that program already running on your machine. Send an email to your shell account. When the program sees that new email has arrived, it will trigger your mail program to bombard that person over there. Now, the only catch is that you have to know who you're going to target, because I haven't been able to figure out any way to send the target's email into the program. You know what I'm saying?
That would be the best way.
That would be the best way, but you know, you take what you can get. So
take what you can get.
There you go. I got 29 emails I got to go through on my phone now.
Yeah, well, at least you can just go through and delete them. It won't take you very long.
Yeah, and we had that thing running for like 3 minutes, and it got 29 emails out. Can you imagine?
You just let it keep running.
If somebody let that run for a day, it's probably best to run it on your own machine because, you know, shell accounts, they tend to say, hey, what are you doing? You're doing too much.
Yep, I hear you.
But run it from your own machine, you can have that going all day.
Hey, screw my mouth, call you back. My phone's messing up.
Oh, all right.
Let me give you a call back real quick.
Okay. See, he's hearing beeps. I told him it was his phone. But, yeah, so there you go. Now, if you need that shell again, well, download this shell, because you should know how to write that. It's easy. It's fun, too. Well, I guess I could continue on without Dash. But, actually, the next thing I wanted to talk about, he had something to say about, I believe. So, let's get this open. Now, let's wait for Dash to call in to the show. Did it ring that time?
Yes, actually it did ring once.
Are you on your cell phone?
No, I'm not.
Oh, I thought you were. All right, now, Dash.
Yes.
Well, actually, I was going to talk about something, but do you have anything for us?
What were you going to talk about?
I was going to mention a school, Georgia Tech University.
No. I'll mention something.
It doesn't want you to learn.
Well, I have a few things, but I was going to ask you. I'm going to ask you, do we care about the IE back button attack?
I have it on my desktop, actually.
Should we mention that, you think?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. The IE back button attack. Swedish security researcher Andreas Sandblad has discovered that the MS Internet Explorer history allows JavaScript in the URLs. The code will execute in the same zone as the last URL visited, which in the case of the error page generated by IE is the local computer zone. Thus, when an error page is generated, JavaScript can be injected into the history and executed by use of the back button. To illustrate it, Sandbald, created a little script which works nicely. Hey, you created a little script, didn't you?
Nice little proof of concept.
Just choose the appropriate link, follow it, and then hit the back button. Big laughs.
Oh, is that the thing that opens Minesweeper or something?
I don't think so. The script should work on most IE browsers, but has been tested only with IE 6 on Win2K and XP. According to Stan Blad's recent posting to the BugTrack mailing list, where you can get a copy and play with it. We've confirmed it for IE 6 on WinXP Pro, and several readers have reported that IE 5 is also affected. We've also heard that McAfee and Norton Antivirus will block it. Microsoft was notified on November 12, 2001, and reminded on March 25, 2002, Stan Blad says. Apparently they're not as worried as the major antivirus vendors. So there you go. Another problem with Microsoft.
Yeah, now, some of our listeners, I noticed on our message board, seem to think that people don't buy Microsoft for security. I'm not sure if you read that post. It relates to what Unreal told us about, I think it was last week.
Yeah.
regarding the WinXP vulnerability, where there's no administrator password. Now, some people had had gone there and said how, you know, well, that's up to the user. You know, the user should implement that security, and well, that's true, but I still don't understand how not being secure is a good thing.
Well, it is. It's not a good thing, but if people don't care about being secure, then, you know.
And unfortunately, some 13-year-old computer kid is going to enter in that administrator.
Yeah.
Not have any password, and then face prison time.
Well, hopefully not prison time.
But, that's okay.
No, that's not okay. It's not going to stand.
Well, it is going to stand, because when people make computers that you can just walk into, people are going to walk into them. It's human nature.
Yeah, I guess it kind of is. Well, what do you do? People don't care about thorough security. I mean, it's their fault, right?
Well, I mean, neither side is right here. No one is saying that people have the right to walk into your computer, but, I mean, come on. When you have an administrator password wide open, you can get into anyone's computer out there. I mean, well, Dash, you know about Samba, right?
Oh, yes, I know about Samba.
You know all these people out there that don't even realize that they have their C drive wide open.
Samba. Yeah, exactly.
You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, NetBIOS, it's okay. You know, no one on my network is going to scam me. Ha! You don't have to be on their network.
Right.
All you got to do is use Samba from Linux. It was in the last 2600, actually. And you can go to anybody's port 139, see if they have shares available, and if they do, go right on in. And yeah, it might ask you for a password, but you know what? It's admin.
Yeah.
Not always, but the default password is admin, so...
Usually there's not even a password.
Yeah. So then you can go into their C drive, see everything they've got.
Yeah, and I'm sure people have, you know, personal stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and so... People argue, well, it's that idiot's fault for not securing it. Yeah, well, you know, if you're going to argue that people don't want security, I mean, how could you say that they're an idiot for not securing themselves?
Yeah, I hear you.
They don't know about it. And, I mean, I'm not taking sides either way here. I'm not saying it's right to go into people's computers, and I'm not saying it's smart to not have good security, but...
You need to pick a side.
I like to remain neutral. I'm trying to report here. You know, I'll put my opinion in.
Yeah.
But all in all, well, people already know my opinion. What the hell do they care?
Yeah, really?
Yeah, well, anyway, yeah. Georgia Tech University here, this was mentioned on Off the Hook, and wow, did it catch my attention.
They don't want you to learn.
They don't want you to learn. The Georgia Institute of Technology freshman, they're referring to Jay Matthews, okay, a Washington Post education report. Is this... Oh, this is about the author. Here I am thinking that they're talking about the person that... Oh, yeah, confusing me. The Georgia Institute of Technology freshman was packing for a family ski trip at his home in the Maryland suburbs of Washington, D.C. last December when he checked his email. He found this message from Georgia Tech's College of Computing. Please be advised that your transcript will be reflecting grade of I for incomplete in CS Computer Studies 1321 for fall semester 2001. The message said, your name has been turned into the Associate Dean of Students, Karen Boyd, for suspicion of academic misconduct on one or more programs. The student, a graduate of one of the Washington area's best public high schools, said he felt like someone just dropped a bomb on him emotionally. He had struggled in the computer science class required of all Georgia Tech freshmen, but had made progress. He was happily expecting a B. Now he faced a possible F in the course and a disciplinary black mark on his academic record. And he says, I felt I had destroyed my life. Now, we've been hearing much about cheating, the article says. Some public school teachers, including several in Maryland, have lost jobs for allegedly helping students improperly on their state achievement tests. In colleges across the country, students and their professors are still talking about my colleague Amy Artisinger's story last year, revealing that 122 introductory physics courses students at the University of Virginia had been accused of copying parts of their term papers. Okay, so cheating's on the rise. Now, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about cheating, Dash? Do you think so?
I don't know. Are we?
No, what we're talking about here is a kid who was asking a fellow student for help on homework because he wanted to learn more about it. Not for answers, mind you. He wanted to know more about the subject. I'm trying to find exactly where it says what he did. Do you think I'm setting too low of a standard? Are you telling me that you don't cheat? Let me ask you a few questions. Have you ever exceeded the speed limit? All right, blah, blah, blah. Thank you. This thing turns into a big morality tale.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is all I need to read to you. The misdeed at Georgia Tech is quite interesting. The kid, you know, wanted to learn more. That fine institution, for reasons that its official spokesman has politely declined to explain to me, forbids its introductory computer science students from seeking any help from other students on their homework. The course honor code says we don't want to discourage discussion between students about ideas pertaining to this course, but Georgia Tech clearly doesn't mean that. The freshman was only one of 187 computer science students of the 1,168 students who took the course last fall, accused of cheating last year. 187. Many of the cases appear to be just like this. Similarities in a few lines of computer code on a very complicated assignment, which he discussed with a friend. All of the available evidence indicates the school has done its best to instill fear in any student who might think of even raising the issue of CS 1321 homework with a classmate. So here we have a kid who is learning about computer science, which is programming, and it's very, very difficult. All right, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, Dash, you know, you've studied it. I've studied it. It's extremely difficult to know what's going on. If anybody tells you it's easy, they're lying, because there are different ways to write things. You know, you have to deal with virtual memory addresses. You have to use arrays and buffers and pointers, and
if you're not good at math, I mean, you need to know math.
See, I disagree. I don't think you need to know math.
Well, I do.
I don't think you do. I think you need to know English. You need to know, or at least a foreign language. You need to know how to communicate. But that's just me. But anyway, what we have here is a student seeking help from another student about his homework. And now when you're talking about lines of code and a couple of lines look similar, that's to be expected, first of all.
Yeah, it is. It's not all going to look different from everybody else's.
Yeah, and if I did get help from someone and they showed me how one line works, or even one function, if I use the same integer names and made a function a particular way, yeah, you know, I suppose you can call that cheating, but the kid didn't have the guy write it for him. They're not saying that. They're just saying he wanted to learn more, and that was part of their complaint. As mentioned on Off the Hook, the school said that they were punishing this kid because he wanted to learn more about it.
Yeah, that's real great. A school punishing a student for wanting to learn.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, that's the thing, though. It's not about learning anymore. It's about sitting there and eating up everything that they tell you.
Yep.
But so if you're considering going to a college, think twice about going to Georgia Tech, because they don't want you to learn.
Don't go to Georgia Tech.
They want you to do exactly what they tell you to do and nothing else. All right, so Dash, I know you got something else to talk about, so let's hear it.
Well, let's see. What can I pull out of my hat?
A rabbit?
No. Okay, here's one.
I wanted to see the rabbit, though.
No, there's no rabbit. Even if I had a rabbit, you couldn't see it, okay?
Can I get a rabbit later?
Next virus exploit, media player? Security experts believe Windows Media Player could soon be targeted by malicious virus writers who are now all but shut out of attacking another Microsoft product, Outlook 2002. They had discovered that the program allows malicious hackers to easily bypass Outlook's new security features, which block delivery of dangerous email attachments and turn off active scripting by default. A downloadable security update from Microsoft adds the same protections to Outlook 2000. The experts say HTML formatted email containing code identified as a file that media player trusts can be embedded in an email, which Outlook will then automatically allow the player to execute. Bad guys will keep looking for a way into a system. If they think Outlook is harder to get into, they'll try something else like Windows Media Player, said Richard Forno, Chief Technology Officer at ShadowLogic. that keep turning doorknobs until they can exploit something. Now, in the past years, security experts have found a handful of methods in which they are able to surreptitiously run malicious code through media player. The most recent exploit, discovered by security sleuth Richard Smith, uses the Windows Media Skin .wms format to bypass Outlook's bolster security features. Skins are used to change the appearance of the player. Because Windows considers .wms files to be safe, an HTML email purporting to contain .wms code will automatically launch the player and execute the code, which could be malicious. Smith posted details of discovery on BugTrack, a security mailing list, several weeks after notifying Microsoft of the problem. Microsoft spokesman said the company has an active ongoing investigation into the issue and chided Smith for his decision to go public with the details. This poster has to publicize the information before Microsoft could complete its investigation of the issue, potentially putting customers at risk, the Microsoft official said. What do you think of that?
Well, it's Microsoft. I think that's all I have to say. You know, a lot of people think that when you have Microsoft, you really don't have that much to worry about because it doesn't have Telnet. Do you know how many times I've heard that?
Yeah. No, I don't know how many times.
A lot. I've heard a lot of people say, well, it doesn't have Telnet, so I'm good. Yeah.
But he says, this poster chose to publicize the information before Microsoft could complete its investigation of the issue, potentially putting customers at risk. So he wanted him to withhold that information until they were done looking into it.
Yeah, well, I think Microsoft put their customers at risk. But you know what? People don't buy Microsoft for security.
Oh, they don't. They buy it because it's user-friendly.
Yep.
Rename it to user-friendly.
What do you think? Do you think that we should have a licensing thing before people go on the Internet? I don't. But do you think so?
Licensing thing?
Well, I'm saying maybe not a license, but do you think people should take courses to teach them how to handle the Internet so that they don't get screwed over or screw up someone else?
No. I think,
Well, let's just, before you continue, let me just say this. Suppose someone gets a file from someone, and this has happened to me tons of times. A friend comes to me after I've told them repeatedly, do not accept files, and they say to me, my screen keeps flipping, my CD-ROM drive opened, and, my browser went to a porn site.
Yeah.
Okay. You got a Trojan. And, you know, and people accept these files. Now, these files could be the worm of the week. It could spread to everybody else. So these people could potentially be hurting other people. And of course, Microsoft for making these damn products that can be anyway.
Yeah, it shouldn't be required to go online, but
I don't think so either. But
yeah, people should know about it.
Yeah, and I think you know there should be a book, you know, maybe a book that comes with each computer that says, there's dangers out there. Don't open files. You know, a safety guide. Why not? You know, there are some things that will be around for the next few years. You know, worms and viruses, they've been around for a while. You know, for the past, you know, from like 10 years ago to now, you could probably tell people, you know, don't open files that if you don't know what they are.
Right.
So I don't see why we can't just have some sort of little tiny manual that says.
All right, now you're giving me. I'm going to create the CD, the safety manual that will come with all computers. I'm going to make a lot of money.
Hey, well, everybody knows who mentioned it first, though.
Oh no, they don't, because
right here it's all recorded. Dash, sorry.
No, see, it was me.
Now, well, of course you realize about 50 of our listeners already patented it, so
yeah.
We're screwed. But did you hear that? Kazaa spyware, Dash? I'm not going to get into the article. We're running out of time. But
I actually have been hearing about this for a while.
Yeah, well, this is something different. Apparently, Virginia Watson, I think her name was, she didn't read through Kazaa's terms of service.
Who does? I know I didn't.
Well, I know I don't. You know, but she didn't read through it, and it allowed some company to use unused space on her hard drive. I don't know. Go to... I think it was on Slashdot.
Yeah, I think it was too.
Go to Slashdot.org, right? Yeah, .org, and look for Kazaa. You'll probably get 30,000 hits or replies or whatever, but
Kazaa has, we'll just go read it. I don't feel like getting into it right now.
Yeah, Kazaa, It's a great thing, but it's got a lot of hidden things on the side. That
they have bundled software from some other company that they didn't tell you about, and now they're going to use your computer or some kind of node on their network.
Oh, doesn't that sound nice?
Yeah.
Okay, bye-bye, notebook.
They're going to turn on their software remotely.
Yeah, now, didn't a network administrator get fired for this because he allowed... what was that? What was that site?
I know that one guy got punished for using distributed.net on those computers.
That's it, distributed.net. Yeah, he let distributed.net use the space on those machines. And, you know, installing things on people's computers, the only reason they get away with it and hackers don't is because they have a terms of service. You know, a 30,000-page... fine print piece of crap that nobody reads.
Yeah, exactly.
But that makes it legal. Oh.
They know nobody reads it. That's why they can put anything in there.
You know, it might be legal, but it's not necessarily right. That's what I always say.
Yes, we need to start reading that stuff.
You know what we should do? We should take Kazaa's terms of service and just, like, print out the whole thing.
Yeah.
Just for the hell of it. But you know what? Nobody would read it. Even if we put it into Freak 21, nobody would read it.
Nobody wants to read that boring crap, man.
Exactly. But you gotta. Otherwise, you can get legally hacked.
Yeah.
Isn't that a nice feeling?
No, never mind.
You're going to go into a conspiracy theory, aren't you?
Oh, no. Don't worry about it.
All right. Well, for those of you that expressed interest in Equal Access, we would like to apologize. We did receive some orders after the cutoff date of April 8th, and we said that on the show and on the board. Now, if you didn't hear about that and you sent it out later, sorry. You know, we don't mean to screw you over, but you will be receiving your checks back, so don't freak out about that. You will be getting your money back. We thank you for your interest, but, you know, we had to make a cutoff point somewhere. So, we hope that everybody who does subscribe enjoyed issue 2 of Equal Access. And, Dash, that's about it for this episode. So, what do you have to say?
You know what I have to say?
What's that?
Well,
I know what I have to say.
Hope I didn't break my computer.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point. But you know what I got to say?
I know what you got to say.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
What is it?
No, I don't want to know.
I got 29 emails to go through.